In 37 hours, 45 minutes, and 44 seconds, those of us that live in the central time zone will change from the year of 1990 to the year of 1991. Today is the last Lord's Day of 1990. A great deal of thought goes into the selection of lessons that are presented on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings from this pulpit. But because this is the last Lord's Day of the year, and because Brad will be preaching this evening, this is the last lesson, as far as we know at this point, that I'll have the privilege of preaching from this pulpit during 1990. Realizing that, I've put a great deal of thought to trying to decide what to use this morning, because it is a time that we are taking inventory. It is also a time that we are thinking about making resolutions, taking inventory of the past year and making resolutions for the new. I have chosen this morning to speak on the subject of building fences, using as a text Numbers 32, verses 16 and 17. Numbers 32, verses 16 and 17. The immediate context and setting of the two verses that I shall read is found at the time that the children of Israel were getting ready to go over and take the land of Canaan. 2.5 of the tribes had decided to stay on the bank where they were, but agreed to go over with the others and help conquer the land and then come back to their wives and children and flocks that they would leave behind. During the time that they are making the promises to the rest of the children of Israel that they're willing to go with them and fight to conquer the land of Canaan, they include these words. They came near unto him and said, "We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place or unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land." If you put the statement of the fenced cities in verse 17 into verse 16, their statement then is this: "We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and fenced cities for our little ones." Sometimes the word that is translated fenced is translated fortified. They were saying, "We're going to build some fences, we're going to build some walls." And in verse 16 indicate two different types of fences or two different types of walls that were going to be built. I suggest to you this morning that there are different types of fences which you and I build. They on this occasion said first, "We're going to build some sheepfolds for our cattle." In that statement they said, "We will build some fences to keep something in." And then they said, "We will build fenced cities for our children because of the inhabitants of the land." In that part of the statement they were saying, "We will build some fences to keep something out." You may have different purposes at different times for building different fences. Some fences are built to keep things in. Some fences are built to keep things out. Some fences are built to divide, and some fences are built to hide. There are at least those four kinds of fences that are built. Those of us who grew up on the farm, and I think all of us for that matter who have grown up in this general area, have had some experience or at least the observation of those who had the experiences in building fences. A barnyard fence is built to keep something in. A garden fence is built to keep something out. A property line fence is built to divide between two pieces of property. And a fence that is being built according to the laws of the state of Tennessee during our present time and in the recent past, around junkyards and places of that type are being built for the purpose of hiding something that doesn't look like it ought to look. Let's think about those four kinds of fences for a few minutes this morning as we apply them to our lives. There was a time in our country when very few fences were built to keep livestock in. Most of us are aware of how people used to have a brand, where the cattle would be branded so that when they went out on the range, they would know which cattle belonged to each person, because there was very little of the practice of building a fence at that time. There may even be some areas in our country today where that same practice is used. But down through the development of the history, we have come to the point today that not only because of desire, but out of law and concern about others, we build fences to keep our livestock in our own pastures and in our own barns. In fact, you can be held accountable if you let an animal of yours get out on the road and cause a wreck. That's why usually if someone runs over a cow or a horse, it is extremely difficult to ever identify to whom that animal belonged. People are responsible for their animals. They are responsible to build the necessary fences to keep them in and to protect them, and perhaps sometimes to keep them in the pasture where there will be the appropriate food for the animals involved. Folks, in that same sense, as we take inventory of 1990 and make our resolutions for 1991, there are some things which we need to fence in. We need to be concerned about our own faith. And we need to build whatever fence and support and protection is necessary to keep our faith strong. We need to be concerned about our morals, the standards and principles by which we live. Trends that are taking place tend to erode or cause erosion of the moral principles that have been the backbone of our nation and our community in the work of the church. And if there's ever been a time that we need to build a fence to keep something in, it's now. We need to build whatever fence of protection is necessary to try to keep those high standards of moral principles in the proper place. We need to do everything that we can to build a fence to keep the basic fundamental doctrines of God's Word in proper place and proper perspective. There are things that are happening in the world and in some areas in the church where speeches are being made and approaches being taken that tend to undermine the very basic fundamental principles of the Bible that have been the foundation for the restoration plea. relative to the distinct nature of the church of the New Testament. Perhaps we need to, more than we ever have before, do the proper amount of teaching and mend the fences where there are holes, to be sure that that respect for God and for His Word and for the basic principles, fundamental principles of doctrine from the Bible continue to be respected and are kept in their proper place. Sometimes when there is a hole in the fence, the animal will get out. The animal may be lost, the animal may be killed, or the animal may cause a problem, as we alluded to the idea of causing a wreck just a few minutes ago. And when that happens, the one who has that fence has to repair that and get the animal back inside in order to take care of the needs and especially to protect that animal that is involved. And so as we face 1991, I suggest to you that one of the great challenges that we have before us is to build the fence to keep in that soundness in faith, the righteous principles of morals, high moral standards, and the basic fundamental doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ upon which everything is built. And I would also emphasize that you and I have an individual responsibility relative to building such a fence. You have a responsibility to build the fence around your faith. Not a fence in the sense that you close your mind and never are open to learning, because the learning process is always there, but a fence of support and protection with the teaching of God's Word, where you know what you believe and why you believe it, to the extent that you can even look death itself in the face and not be afraid with such a strong faith in God. And even though there are times that we try to build the fence of protection concerning moral standards and fail, we need to reach out to bring back those who have gone outside the basic principles and to get them back where they need to be and to put all of us on a sound foundation, morally speaking, respecting what God has said about the matter. Like the barnyard fence or the fence around the pasture that's built to keep something in, you and I need to take God's Word and with its teaching build that strong fence around our faith and our moral principles and our basic fundamental doctrines and keep them in proper perspective. But not only did Reuben and Gad and those associated with them build fences or walls to keep their sheep and cattle in, they built fences around their cities to keep the problems out so that their wives and children might be protected. A study of the Old Testament particularly indicates that a great deal is said about fenced or fortified cities. You remember when they began to march around the city of Jericho, they had to be concerned about the walls that were built around that city for its protection. And those walls were so strong that it took the involvement of God Himself with the children of Israel to bring those walls down. Here was a fenced city to protect the people that were in it. Back at 2 Chronicles, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 5, at the time of Solomon, reference is made to the people dwelling in fenced, and some versions translate this fortified, in fenced or fortified cities. One city is mentioned particularly that it was built with a wall around it so that the people would be protected. When the children of Israel came back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, They then were concerned and also concerned about the walls to the city of Jerusalem. Those of you who have visited that city know that those walls are at least types like the walls are there today. There's discussion about the walls and the gates built around the city of Jerusalem for its protection. In the history of our country, especially during the time of the wars that involved the Indians, Revolutionary War and times like that, many times there were forts built. The people would be on the inside and there would be the walls around this for protection. Now that was not to keep something in. Those people could leave anytime they decided to. It was to keep something out. The fences that were built here in Numbers 32 were not to keep the children of Reuben and Gad inside. They were to keep the inhabitants of the land out. And so we need to build some fences to keep something out. The devil comes to mind when you start thinking about that, because he is always wanting to come into our lives. He even accused God of building a hedge around Job. God told him he had not built a hedge around Job in the sense that he protected him against temptation, but even there was a hedge built against the devil's taking Job's life. Devil is described in 1 Peter 5:8 as being a roaring lion. If you and I lived in an area where there were roaring lions, would we build some kind of fence for protection, some kind of wall to keep that lion out? Doesn't it make sense that we need that in the same way in a spiritual setting? Look at the problems that exist in the world today. Problems that cannot be eliminated completely. The drug culture is certainly a problem. Do we not build fences, and should we not build fences, not only with the younger generation, but with all of us, to try to keep those things out of our lives? Why do we try to get across these points to people? To build fences. I'm encouraged that there are those, in addition to those of us associated with the church, who are beginning to awaken and beginning to do something about this. I am extremely appreciative of about a quarter page that was placed in the local paper last week by the Jackson Clinic, in which they inform the public that there is exactly the same amount of alcohol in one can of beer that there is in an ounce and a half of whiskey, approximately a shot of whiskey. People have not been aware of this. They've not been awakened to this. What's that doing? That's trying to help build a fence to keep alcohol out of our bodies and out of our lives. What about all the programs that are being presented? If you notice the red ribbons on the trees, the Lions Club, of which I'm a member, has promised to pay for the ribbons that were put up by the group that's trying to teach this community and inform this community about the problems with drugs. What are we doing? We're trying to build some fences to keep those things out of our lives. We begin to teach our younger people to respect their bodies, to respect the sanctity of the complete sexual relationship that's limited to the husband and wife. What are we doing? We're trying to build some fences, and we start teaching our young ladies and our young men, and need to continue this teaching as long as we're alive, that there are just some things we don't do, and there are some places we don't go, and there are some people with whom we're very careful in our association. That doesn't mean we're trying to build a fence between us and other people, that we don't love their souls. It means there are some things we want to keep out of our lives that can harm us and hurt us. And so as we from time to time teach those lessons from the pulpit and in our classes, and I hope more and more in the family settings, to help us understand the things that can come into our lives and harm us, we are building fences. Fortification. We're fortifying our families. And in cases where something does get in and cause a problem, we deal with that and try to get it out and help the person involved to become healthy again. If someone came into a fort or into a fortified city and injured somebody, we deal with that injury and try to help that person get well again. But we still try to keep those fences there to keep as many bad things out as we can. In other words, we want to fence in the good and fence out the bad. Some fences are built to fence in, and some fences are built to fence out. And then there is a fence that's built sometimes that's built to divide. We build fences along a property line. Most of the time for the right purpose, sometimes for the wrong purpose. But we want a fence that goes down, and people who live on either side will say, that fence divides. This is mine over here, and this is yours over there. And sometimes a fence like that is good. I believe such a fence that is good is described in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Be ye separated. Build a fence between, saith the Lord. And a study of the surrounding verses there will show that he's talking about a distinction between righteousness and unrighteousness, between God and that which would be opposite of God, between the things that are good and the things that are bad, between the straight and narrow way and the broad and wide way. He says there's a separation to be there. You need to be able to make a distinction. Come out and separate yourself. But sometimes that fence of dividing is bad. In Ephesians 2 and verse 14, for he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a fence of division between the Jews and Gentiles that was bad. The Jews had drawn a distinction and a fence, and they said, here we are and there you are, and we can never be the same. We can never be one. Christ came and died and broke down. He tore down that fence. But in too many instances, we've built it back. And as we look at our work in 1991, we need to be sure that we do not build a fence between races, a fence between nations, a fence between generations, a fence between social types of people, a fence between those who are at different ends of the spectrum as far as wealth is concerned. We must do everything we can to put away prejudices and misinformation and incomplete information, to where we truly realize, as indicated in Galatians 3:28, that all are one in Christ Jesus. We need to be sure that we do not build a fence between men and women. Recognize the limitations, yes, that God has placed on women and the limitations that he's placed on men in some ways. And yet never building a fence, but all of us being equal and one as far as opportunity is concerned. In this congregation, we have about as much variety of background as anywhere you would find. Older generation, middle generation, younger generation. There's just no room for a fence in between either of those. Usually in every service, we have people of every race or most races and backgrounds. There's never room for a fence. And let me just suggest in passing that if that fence is going to be kept down, it's going to have to be kept down by those on both sides. It doesn't work one way. In each of these areas, that's true. So we need to be careful about building a fence to divide If we're dividing between righteousness and unrighteousness, let's build that dividing fence. But in these other areas, let's tear down and never build again the fence of prejudice and misunderstanding. And then there is the fence that hides. Not long ago, the state of Tennessee passed a law that the junkyards that had the old cars and everything just spread over the countryside had to do something to hide that from the road. The first desire was clean it up. But if you're not going to clean it up, then build a fence to hide it from the public. Sometimes today it's possible for us to build fences of hypocrisy that hide our sins from others, when in fact we've not cleaned up what's behind the fence. Proverbs 28:13 speaks to this point. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Isn't that another way of saying he that builds a fence to hide his sins shall not prosper? But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall obtain mercy. This past week, as I was driving between Manchester and Tullahoma, going there for a funeral, I passed a place about halfway between where for years there have been the Dempster dumpsters set, five or six of them, where people would take their trash and garbage. The dumpsters are still there, but there's a fence around them. They've had to build a fence, and as I passed, I saw the fence, and just through them, I could see that the trash was still there. The fence has been built to cover up the trash, and that's good in that sense. But folks, if you and I build a fence around our lives to cover up the trash and the garbage and the sin that's in it, to hide it from someone else, instead of cleaning up our act through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've built a fence of hypocrisy. And that's a fence that needs to be torn down. Building fences. Some to keep things in, some to keep things out, some to divide, and some to hide. Even after death, there is the idea of a fence or a wall. The image is really the gulf, but it's the same idea. Abraham said to the rich man in the story of Luke 16, there's a dividing gulf between us. Same effect as a fence. And you can't come over here and we can't go over there. There's a fence that's set. And we need to realize that we must do something while life is still with us in order to be on the right side of that dividing line. You see, there's a dividing line in this life and in the life that is to come. And even at the day of judgment, God's going to say, enter in to those on the right and depart from me to those on the left. And there's going to be that fence, that dividing line that's between for the eternity. Yes, as we think about taking inventory for 1990 and making our resolutions for 1991, let us determine to build some barnyard fences to keep some things in. Our faith and our morals and our principles. And let's build some city fences to keep things out. The devil and evil and those things that would hurt us and harm us and tear us down. Let's build some fences to divide between righteousness and unrighteousness, but tear down those that would divide with prejudice and misinformation. And let's never build the fence to hide. Let's clean up our lives and get rid of our mistakes through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then do our best to live right in such a way that our lives are not only open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do, Hebrews 4:13, but open to each other, because as Christians we have nothing to hide, but live in such a way that our influence can be felt amongst us and throughout the entirety of the world. Building fences. Now, having said that,